are listening to Fast Track Podcast, the place to be to fast track your personal finance or fast track your business or both. Through a series of conversations with those who have learned it, done it, and made it. Before starting the episode, I have very exciting news to share with you. I am collaborating with financial imagineer Matthias Richter to launch the Fast Track Money course. This 6-week online course is designed to help young professionals in their 20s to early 40s to learn how to save more, earn more, and invest, using money as a tool to fulfill your dreams. We teach you the proven method that Matthias has been using himself in the last 20 years and achieved financial independence. So sign up today on fasttrack.life/moneycourse to transform your relationship with money from today. Matthias is an IT management consultant and a member of Financial Independence Community. He lives with his wife and 2 kids in Cologne, in Germany. So since 2018, he's running the Financial Independence, so FI, Europe podcast and a cash flow game community in Cologne. And in his podcast, he interviewed a lot of people and talking about the financial independence and retire early. And in this episode, I'm going to ask him how he started getting interested in financial independence and retire early, this topic, and why he started this community and what his money philosophy, what his investment philosophy, and shared his personal experience with you. So you can also benefit from his learnings. So welcome to Fast Track Podcast, Matthias.
Hi, Yazi. Yeah, good to be here. First time.
Yeah, you are also a podcaster, and I think I listened to a few episodes in the past. And what I like about it is like you literally interview people from different parts in Europe, and you know they share their own stories. And today I'm so glad to have you come here to our show. So let me start with the first question. We all know that you know financial literacy was not taught in school. And where did you learn personal finance? How did you get interested in this topic?
First of all, it's a cool feeling to be on the other side of the microphone. So I have a little bit of anxiety, but anyway. I started already in school. I think even before school, I had way too many Dagobert Duck comics. This duck from Disney that has a lot of money. But and then in school, I also was interested. I can remember that in the English or in the German lessons, I people were talking about stuff, and I just had the economics part of the newspaper where I just was reading about stocks and the companies, and I was totally interested in this. In the 90s, it was really cool, the media industry. So it was really evolving from just having 2 channels to 30 channels. You have pay TV and so on. So I was interested in that industry and also a fan of some of the companies. Instead of being a fan of football teams. And yeah, then I also got 2 stocks later in when I studied. I got 2 stocks from my parents because they made a loss on it because they bought it at the wrong time. They bought it at the year 2000, 2001. And they said, okay, this is not worth anything. I can give it to my son. And then I was, during my studies, I was just researching these stocks, if I could sell them and when. And then I also came across other stocks. And yeah, I digged really deep. And I think many people, especially in their late 20s, middle of the 20s, they can relate to this, that they start about digging into finance and then they read this the whole, I would call it stock porn. So like small articles about this is a good stock that will go through the roof. You will be a millionaire with that stock. So the whole clickbait article. So I read all of those and went to a lot of portals, finance portals called at that time. And then I also made some purchases of stocks. Often not the best decision, but maybe we can talk about that later. And yeah, I also then went, had my first job. Got also fired during the financial crisis. And then I started with crowdfunding because that was a time when there was a Web 2.0 and digital startups. There were a lot of digital startups and there were these new equity crowdfunding companies or portals. and they just jumped or invested in some of those 2012, 2013, and also exited some of them. And I invested in a couple of companies. And then later on, I founded the FinTech Meetup because I found these whole FinTech companies, I found really cool that they finally solve the problem that you really, earlier you had these investment funds, you could invest in insurance policies that had a lot of fees and so on. And I found it really fascinating that these FinTech companies really solving the problem that I care about that you, that the finance industry is not catering their customers. And and then I also discovered this FinTech topic. I also had a project or mini startup with a friend for aggregation of multiple portfolios so that you know what the performance is, but that failed. But I kept doing the FinTech meetup and also founded another meetup because I learned how to do a meetup. That's why I just scaled this. Mm-hmm. I having a cash flow meetup in Cologne and Berlin and in Düsseldorf. And we now rebranded it to Retire to Freedom Meetup. So it's still active. We meet in Berlin. It's really cool. People from all over the world. I meet in Berlin and also in Cologne. We have a great community of people who just are looking for peers. And I think that is very important. And maybe one of my key takeaway to surround you with people that have this this goal that you think it's just normal to aim for financial freedom and also to build your wealth and not hanging out so much with people who only find reason not to do so. And that's why I also founded this or had our flagship events, the FI Europe retreats, or it was also a surf camp in the beginning in 2017, 19, and also now in this May, we have also FI Europe retreat in Spain. We just meet with really ambitious people at the pool, having a nice time, some wine, some workshops, and learn about finance from other people. So I think that's really also key to just grab a few people who have the same interest and passion. Yeah,
I like what you talk about, like you like to hang out with people who probably share the same philosophy or retire to freedom, right? And then not to be convinced by other people that think, oh, it's unachievable, it's a dream, it's not realistic. I think that's the whole beauty of finding your own tribe. And then you started this Facebook group there, you know, people interested in achieving financial independence can join the Facebook group. Later, we'll talk more about that. And you share with us your, you know, your whole journey with your career, with how you started with studying the two stocks your parents gave to you. So funny, because they're not making money from it. So, okay, let's just dump it to my son. But that's an interesting story. Right now, like, did you see the difference? How you manage money, like your family budget, your investment versus before, or just more or less the same?
I would say I'm more, I take more risks than my family. I'm not, my parents, they had also grew up in a different time. So you could put money on the bank account and get interest or not on it. That is not the case. I mean, they had like times where they got 7% on savings, and this is not possible. So you have to take more risks sometimes these days. And as I'm also more curious about new trends and new stuff, I also tend to experiment with new strategies and asset classes. So I think I'm kind of different and they more play it safe. Although I'm getting older and now also looking to reallocate in more conservative portfolios, especially these days where all the conservative mm-hmm. stocks are cheap, basically.
So what is your investment strategy? Let's just say this is not financial advice, right? We just like share your personal, your decisions on how you allocate your investment, just for reference.
Investment strategy is to have, at least to have also a portion where I can experiment because I like it, just trying new things, like, for example, in the DeFi space. You can also, Anyway, so the most, or I would say, I have the most of my money in stocks. And then I have like another, let's say 30% or even more than 30%, then I have some crypto and some more risky things like derivatives and peer-to-peer lending and some startup shares also. And then I have to dig into each of these pieces of the pie with sub strategies. For example, in stocks, I have my own growth portfolio. That's what I manage myself mostly. And then I have also more conservative parts where I have a value and quality focused portfolio. So, and because I cannot kind of do everything because I have other things to do, I also use ready-made strategies. For example, if you buy an ETF, that is a strategy, or you can have a certificate that, yeah, that replicates a certain strategy, or you can also just buy a newsletter from any wealth manager or publisher that is also taking care for a certain investment strategy. And I see myself more like the portfolio manager who is managing these strategies and maybe switching them and also reallocating the money depending on the market situation.
Yeah. And we know that like in the US, the financial independence or retire early community, the most popular one is ETF, right? S&P 500 or Total World. Why did you not choose to, you know, just opt for simple ETF rather with different asset class?
Personally, I have a lot of fun to pick stocks. because they have also been there, like ETFs haven't been around all the time. So I just started with ETFs. So I got used to it. I also have some ETFs, for example, S&P 500 or also an ETF where I invest in the market, except these dirty industries, like oil and so on. But in general, I think I have fun screening stocks. I have fun understanding the business models. It also helps me in my day job to do that research. It's not, for me, it's really a relaxing activity to read some investment reports and quarterly results. And and sometimes, I mean, there are also people who are able to beat the market, but I also know that it's unlikely for me to do so. But I'm happy if I can beat the market. And if I want to make more money, I have like these smaller portions of my portfolio with derivative strategies that where I at least have, based on my research, I can make more percents than the 7-8% I get in the ETF. So I have some smaller portions of my portfolio where I can just make more money. And also one thing to the ETFs, especially now, you have the market risk. So if the market is down, the whole ETF is down. But if you, for example, have an ETF and combine it with really boring military or food stocks or like Nestle, Munich Re, then you don't have these big drawdowns that you have, for example, when there's suddenly a war in Europe or some coronavirus. Because usually when there's a crisis, people try to put their money into value stocks and that fulfill basic needs of the people, like food industry and so on.
Yeah, right. So so you have your ETF investment, but because you enjoy understanding the business model and you enjoy spending your time studying different stocks and companies, so you also combine other strategies to investment. That's interesting. Then coming back to the basics, how would you view if it's something worth you to spend money on or not? Why I ask this question? Because I know there are some people in the FIRE community, right? They have like strict budget, but some people, they do not. So I just wondered how you view your own budget.
So I told my wife always, also I found out my investment, my money philosophy is don't spend on the essentials, but spend on the superfluous, or at least at the non-essentials. So basically I have really old jeans, and I don't spend so much on a new fridge. So I really use the old one a long time. and spend more on things that make me kind of happy, because my basic values are growth, they are excellence and being creative and curious. And that's why I like to spend on that, like having a trip with friends or like-minded people, or for example, buying a book, buying a new web tool that makes my, that caters to my needs, to my hobbies and interests. And also spending in experience. So that's, for example, we also have even, you won't believe it, we rent a car for 1 year because we had booked a lot of cars during Corona, and now we really enjoy to stay in the nature. So we just booked a car to go more for camping, to visit also friends in not so big cities. And just, we have also this app called Komoot where you can, you find hiking passes around cities that you don't know. And that's why I spend on that. Although we really don't need a car. I can really walk everywhere. So yeah. So yeah, spend on things that are not frugal.
Not spending too much on the essentials, but spend on the non-essentials, which brings you happiness or fulfills, make you feel like this quality of life or in what you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because recently I was browsing through a lot of furnitures because we are going to move soon. Then I thought, okay, the sofa, I'm going to have it for 10 years. I need to find a good quality sofa or replace my current one. I just have those, you know, ideas how to put up together interior stuff. But then this is interesting, like, do not spend on essentials.
I mean, I also spend, for example, furniture. Usually I don't spend so much on it, but sometimes I also really, then it becomes my hobby. So I'm really curious in interior design, and then I'm really, then I also spend on it, but usually I don't have to design to, no time to think about it. Then I go for the cheap one or just leave it as it is. And then recently we also have been on YouTube and the TV with a movie called Rente mit 40. So I think 2 million people or more have watched it. And there I spent 10K on my kids' room because we had the ability, so it was a chance to stay in our flat, having an additional room for my home studio or home office. And also then we had the idea, okay, how can we stay here in the flat with two kids? And we just had some designer helping us to utilize the space we have by putting the kids onto each other. So, and having really nice
on top of each other.
On top of each other. And then by that, I mean, it cost 10K, but in the end, the business case, I think this month or next month, we are break even with that decision because we saved so much in rent because we had not to move into a bigger flat with like four rooms. We have just a three-room flat with four rooms now, basically.
Mm-hmm. And this rent means 40. So for those who don't understand German, it means like retire at 40, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about this program, or tell us a little bit about, you know, what's your plan, retire at 40?
Basically I'm a bit late, so I would give myself time until 45, I would say, so extending it a bit. I have made a good progress. I think it's especially what helped me is in the beginning, or when I was young, I saved a lot. And also when studying, then I had in the middle or end of the 20s, I spent a lot of money for concert tickets and drinks. And then I got back to saving, basically. And then I think in the last years, the growth of my portfolio accelerated also. And that's why I would consider myself on a good track. But I also don't have the feeling that I have to drop out of the workforce now, right now. So I could also just decide if I want not to work for a year or two, that would not be a problem. But I also, what should I do, you know? So basically, I also like to work. I like my hobbies. And I don't feel such of a rush because I don't want to travel the world for the next 10 years. I don't want to sit at the beach. So basically, I don't mind also working.
But also have the option if you choose not to work, right?
Yeah, so the next step would be then being barista FI. I really like, I think working part-time is one of the goals. That's really a goal that I can spend more time with the kids and also having a small or a hobby or can basically work for two things. That is interesting to me. Yeah. And maybe we also need a bigger flat. So I would not rule out that we need a bigger flat. So yeah. Dropping out of the workforce right now, I think it's not a smart decision. If you want to have that lifestyle inflation at a certain point in your life, you might want to spend more money on a great apartment in one of the major cities, because I don't want to stay in a smaller city or in the countryside. It's not my cup of tea.
Okay. Funny. I'm living in the countryside. And at the beginning, I was not used to it. Moving from Singapore to like Switzerland, it's already quite a shock. And then I'm living in a village with like 2,000 to 3,000 people. So it's funny when you say
2,000 to 3,000 people. Well, yeah. I think it's kind of different people in Switzerland, these 2,000 to 3,000 people, than you would have in Northeast Germany. I don't know what type of people are living in your neighborhood.
What type of people? Like normal people from Switzerland, some foreigners.
So it's a good community that you have chosen, basically.
Yeah, I think it's nice here. Yeah. Are you referring to like a different generation demography?
Yeah, I think you can have different demography. I think in bigger cities, it's much easier to just go. If, for example, you stop working at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and then maybe you want to talk about Metaverse with somebody, having a beer, talk about Metaverse. And it's much easier to do that in a city because you find people that actually aren't interested in it. And you are back home like in 50 minutes. You only
I agree. But, you know, I think I wouldn't be able to adjust to this lifestyle if not because of COVID. So there's a lockdown, then we have to, if we go out, then we go back. There's a hiking route. Basically, all the bars and restaurants are closed. So, and then coming back to, you know, how you manage your money, how you invest. And if I were to ask you, right now you are in your 30s or early 40s?
I would say in the late 30s, unfortunately.
Okay.
So I'm just waiting for getting bald and gray beard and so on.
Yeah. Let's just say coming back, like if you were in your 20s now, what would you tell the younger Matthias? What would you tell him not to do, or the mistakes to avoid?
I would say also being a bit more straightforward in the career. So figuring out faster what you're good at, basically. So, and then progressing there in that career path, and really try to, if you know that you're in a job where there's no progress anymore, then you should adjust there faster. So
why is it important to, you know, progress?
Yes, because you can increase your salary. And by increasing your salary, you can increase your options and your investing. And also you get more responsibility and higher, I would say, higher value tasks. But that's, I mean, what people think that is high value, you know. But you get more responsibility and, I would say, I mean, I haven't had a couple of years. I had not made such a fast progress, but I think that was okay because we got our first child. So it was okay having a job, not to travel so much and being at home at 6 o'clock. That it had also good.
So that's
one idea. Another idea, of course, is to choose. I think you have to choose in the beginning. I mean, many people study also social science and things that are not well paid. or entering companies that are not in a good industry to start. I think choosing an industry where there's the money and where there's a progress and that shapes the world, like currently it would be DeFi, metaverse, logistics, and e-health. So the industries, or biotech, so the industries that are in focus for the next 10 to 15 years, there I would put my focus on, and not starting in somewhere where you can't win anything because everybody is in cost-cutting mode.
Yeah, so to increase your human capital and then to increase your earning power, so that speed up the actually financial independence, time to achieving financial independence. And then now you are in your late 30s, you aim like mid 40s to have the option to retire or half retire. Can you share with us or help our audience to understand this concept? Like, how can someone to retire early? Because in their mind, in a lot of people's mind, they need to have like a lot of money. Then they use them, you know, little by little until they die. But that's not the case. So can you explain us a little bit how you design it?
Spending. Okay, understood. I think I want to go to a certain threshold of money with growth strategies. And then I would slowly progress to lower risk strategies, but also to income strategies. So right now I would, maybe if you're young, you can invest in growth stocks, you can hold them. And later on, you want to have a certain income stream. So you would potentially invest in real estate. You would invest in low risk peer-to-peer lending, or in REITs, or in dividend stocks, and so on. So I think when you pass a certain your FI number or your barista FI number, where you can just need to work part time, then you would switch to income investing strategies. Yeah. So that's okay. The idea. I don't. So I don't personally. I don't count my pension from the state government. I don't know why. I think in Germany they have done a poor job in the pension schemes. I think the UK, the US is much better. That you can save tax without paying tax. So you can just put things into a tax advanced wrapper, and yeah, you don't have to pay tax basically. I think that's coming here in Germany soon. So.
Oh, in Germany, there's no. Are you referring to like a Roth IRA similar
or yes.
additional pension fund?
Yes, the Roth IRA. And I think there's one in the UK too. In Germany, there's only Riester. It's called Riester. Mm-hmm. There you have to pay a lot of fees to insurance companies. And there's Rürup for the freelancers. And there you also have to pay a lot of fees. And if you go to a broker and or ask for some advice, they just tell you, okay, I know it makes no sense, but I don't have anything else to sell to you. So that's, yeah. I think the new government, they know that they need to fix it, and they want, they will provide a new scheme for that.
Okay. I kind of understand, because if the money is in your own portfolio, you can deploy it the way you want, right? Whenever you want. But if it's in pension fund, sometimes it's difficult for you to have an influence on how to use the money, how to invest the money, or how to take them out. So
yeah, how to take them out is difficult, and also the fees. So you can, there are some new products where you can even invest in ETFs, but you have still too high. The fees are too high. Yeah, they are more than you would pay if you just would open a robo-advisor account or buy an ETF. Basically, you have these management fees.
Yeah. That's a good point, because I think many people might not pay attention to their pension fund because the money was deducted from salary every month. They don't see it. They don't know about it. But it's still important to know, you know, where your money goes and how much you have in your pension fund so that you can plan your retirement. Or like you, right? If you don't count your pension, you just build up your own nest retirement money for retirement over time, that's even safer than the pension comes on top, right? Let's hope for that. Yeah. And my last few questions would be, you know, you have this FI Europe Facebook group, also podcast. What have you, you know, the biggest takeaways from all your interviews or interactions with people? How do you see those who successfully achieved financial independence at an early stage, or what did they do right?
Regarding the successful people, I think there are some patterns. The ones that manage to have a really fast career early in their life, like in the middle of their 20s, and that got promoted and promoted and promoted, and they could save a lot, and then they're basically financial free. And then there are also the ones that are able to build a business, that they find team members that they can rely on. They have learned maybe in the beginning of their career a lot, some skills, and that they then really focus on building the business and not finding excuses and really hustling. So I think many people who made it in their early 30s or in the middle of the 30s, they are actually work a lot. So really all the time and hustling and networking and trying something new and then trying again and so on. So many people also have, I have interviewed somebody yesterday who has worked in trading, and then he had also some website side hustles. And then finally, he also just founded their own business full time with a $1 million investment. And he was just always trying new things. And then finally, at the third or the fourth try, then there is success. So that's one thing. Then I have also observed in my Facebook group that there's a strong, this fat fire versus lean fire. There's sometimes they have different values and they're kind of fighting each other. So I think they should make peace with each other and just know that they have different values, or they are in a different life situation. So some people who are doing lean fire, they currently don't have the ability to increase their income. So it makes perfect sense. But when you have the ability to increase your income, then you should not spend too much time on saving a buck or a dollar on a coffee. So that's just a different, I should think you have to understand why the person is doing it and just accept it because they have different situation. Then also, I think from the Facebook group, many people also using the geo arbitrage. So for example, using it from people from south of Europe often go to central Europe to earn money. And then they are also looking for help in our Facebook group orientation. So where can they get a job? What broker to use? How they can save money? What credit cards and what else not? So that's the geo arbitrage within Europe, but also people coming from outside Europe. That's they have a lot of questions to orientate themselves, and they can also. I know also many people, or a couple of people, examples that have moved back to south of Europe. Then once they made enough money, because in the south of Europe they can just retire earlier because the money they need is not that high, and then they retired in the south of Europe and they can build their own business, maybe opening a fire block or becoming real estate agents or whatever. So having a more simple and not so time consuming activity than in the south of Europe when they got old. That's a couple of examples.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I think those are very insightful. For those who are very interested in learning more about financial independence, or if they are located in Europe, where they can join your community, or where they can contact you and find out, you know, learn more about this topic.
For example, you can listen to our podcast, financial-independent.eu. There's also the event for the FI Europe retreat in May. where you are invited to join in Spain. It's 20 to 24th of May, I would say. Then you can Google Retire to Freedom Berlin or Retire to Freedom Cologne if you are in that region and want to connect with people. If you're interested in fintech, you can Google Fintech Meetup Europe, I think, or Fintech Meetup Cologne. There's a YouTube channel, and you can also join the I think it's really good, really good sessions with a lot of well-known people of the industry right now. So that's some ideas where you can.
Okay, we will put those links in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here with us, Matthias, and really appreciate your time. Hopefully, you know, some of the audience, you know, check out the Facebook group, join the Facebook group, join the conversation, listen to the podcast, and welcome to the, you know, FIRE community here in Europe.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, Yasin.
Join the Facebook group at Fast Track Podcast 1, or you can find us on Instagram, YouTube, and of course, the homepage, fasttrack.life. See you in the next episode.